today's guest feels we are on the home stretch of the church age. We consider some of the final events that are possible, if that is true.
When the Bible was written, about 28% of the Bible was prophecy. So, you know, people ask me a lot of times, why do you love Bible prophecy? I'll tell them it's because I love the Bible. I think understanding prophecy helps us understand the times in which we live.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Every weekend, we broadcast across America, a program to call your attention to the signs of our times. Jan's guest today, one of America's premier Bible prophecy teachers, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, a senior pastor and adjunct faculty member of Dallas Theological Seminary. Mark Hitchcock has authored over 20 books on the end times. His latest title, ISIS, Iran, Israel, and the End of Days, will be the backdrop for today's discussion. Here now to talk about current events in Bible prophecy, Jan Markell and Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
And welcome to the program. We look at news, views, truths from a decidedly biblical perspective. A very special guest with me the entire hour. Let me just give a quote or two from the book that my guest carries, and we'll say lots more about it as we move along. And the book is ISIS, Iran, Israel, and the End of Days. And the author, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, actually quotes former U.S. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel, when he said, quote, "It is a time of global transformation. We are essentially seeing a new world order evolving and being built. I don't think we've seen such a time since right after World War II, close quote. And then the author, Mark Hitchcock, writes this, "Planes are falling from the sky. ISIS is on the march. Major cities are being struck by terror attacks with vicious threats of more to come. Syria is embroiled in a grinding civil war. Lawless Libya is a fertile breeding ground for jihadists. Terror is spreading like a brush fire." He goes on to say, "The ISIS-directed and synchronized slaughter in Paris and other places has gripped the world. The West is paralyzed by fear. Iran is uncoiling its tentacles into Iraq and Syria and covertly pursuing nukes, even as the controversial flimsy nuclear deal goes into effect. Russia is busily moving troops, tanks, and air power into Syria, expanding its influence." Well, that's just a little bit by way of introduction. And Mark Hitchcock asks in his introduction, if we are on the home stretch of the church age, what will happen next? Where is history headed? What are the final events of world history as the end of the age draws near? We'll consider this topic for the hour. Pastor Mark Hitchcock is pastor of Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. He's been a very frequent conference speaker of mine and radio guest as well. Mark Hitchcock, welcome back to the program.
It's great to be with you.
Thank you. Say, and going back to my introduction, where I made a reference and a quote from you, do you believe we are on the home stretch of the church age?
Well, I believe we are. Of course, we don't know how long the home stretch is. You know, one can say, well, the home stretch is 5 years or it's 10 years, but I believe that we are. I believe we're in the season of the Lord's coming. And, you know, of course, no one knows the day or the hour. No one knows the decade. But we do see these things that are happening in our world. And so I think, you know, when we look at the Bible and look at what's happening in our world today, you know, it's kind of like the illustration I've heard before of the, you know, when you get ready to put together a puzzle, you look at the picture on the top of the box. And that's, of course, what the ultimate scenario will look like, or what the puzzle will look like when it's completely put together. And even when we look at our world today, more and more what we see in our world is looking like the picture on top of the box. Now, we're not there yet. There are a lot of events that have to be fulfilled in the end times. But I think a lot of these pieces are coming together, and what we see is beginning to look more and more like that. So I do believe that we are in the home stretch of the church age.
The rise of ISIS, and of course that's a heavy theme in your new book, ISIS, Iran, Israel, and the End of Days. So the rise then of ISIS probably was not a huge surprise to you. It was not to me. Many of my radio guests, and of course I can kind of see this myself, that global destabilization let's just say, more global destabilization is necessary to continue setting the stage, correct?
Well, it is. You know, the Bible tells us that ultimately, you know, in the end times, the staging grounds from the events will be in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole rise of ISIS just keeps the world focus riveted on the Middle East, which is exactly what we should expect if the Lord's coming is near. Obviously, Israel is in the center of all of that, and that's the reason the Middle East is so significant. But I think, you know, obviously just the world focus on the Middle East. The Bible tells us, too, I believe, that the tribulation period, this coming 70th week of Daniel, it's often called the time of Jacob's trouble, that final 7 years of this age will begin with a peace treaty, some
yes.
type of peace agreement between a final great world ruler and the nation of Israel. Well, I mean, obviously that peace treaty, what we see now, it's desperately needed
right
there. It's just chaos. And so I think a lot of these things are just kind of, again, just propelling us kind of down the road.
Yes, and my intent is to ask you how you feel some of this fits into Bible prophecy, because you cover it wonderfully here, and that's in my notes, and we're heading there in just a minute or two. Let me continue to try to set the stage here, because you give an interesting story here in the book, because you actually were in Israel, and you talk about the brutal reality of ISIS becoming personal to you. Now, they didn't capture you and cut your head off, thankfully, because you're here with us today, but talk to us about what happened to you in Israel.
Well, back in the spring of 2015, a group from our church, we took 86 people from our church who went over to Israel. I've been there before. I think it was my third or fourth trip to go to Israel. And on our final day in Galilee up in northern Israel, we went up to, as groups often do, the Syria-Israeli border up in the area known as the Golan Heights. And we were standing there about 100 yards or so, something like that, from a fence that marks the border there. And, you know, groups go there all the time. In fact, it's kind of a weird scene because you have all these things happening up there, and you have people selling trinkets and all
mm-hmm.
kinds of things because the visitors come there in the land of Israel to see the border there. But while we were there, we were hearing explosions in the distance. And they were kind of getting closer. So you have the kind of just these thundering explosions going on. And there was a village just right across from us there. And our guide told us that just a few weeks earlier he'd been there and a terrible firefight had broken out. And the group he was with watched this happen right in front of them.
Wow.
And this town was taken by ISIS. And, of course, we're there, and these explosions are going off over there, and it's kind of unnerving and unsettling to the people who are there. Some of them are fairly close, and they shake the ground as you're standing there. And, you know, it was just a strange experience. I know we often use the word surreal, and a word gets overused, but it was definitely surreal, standing there, just looking a few hundred yards across over there to a town that had been taken by ISIS. Here we are standing there safe and sound, and, again, there's people selling snacks and trinkets kind of all around us.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a strange setting, but it really brought home to me the fact, you know, this is real. You know,
yeah.
It seems so far away when we're back here in the United States, but the poor people in that village and in those places, they're trapped really in this cauldron. It just reinforced that. And of course, you know, suddenly, of course, what happens in San Bernardino, it happens in our own country. And I think tragically, it's going to begin to hit here with more frequency. But
yeah.
It really brought it home to me how real it is.
Yeah. And I want to talk about that coming to America. But as you're talking there and describing what happened to you, look how close it is to the only democracy in the Middle East. It's yards to just a few miles away from Israel.
Oh, that's right. No, it's right there on their border, sure. And they live with that all the time, of course. They're surrounded basically on every side. But
yes.
So you know, really nothing, probably not new to them, but it was just strange, a group of Americans standing there witnessing this. It really was. It was something kind of for all of our group. It was probably one of the most powerful moments on our trip, and it was not something that was orchestrated.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Dr. Mark Hitchcock because we're carrying his newest book, ISIS, Iran, Israel, and the End of Days. You can find it in my store, olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoints. You can give us a call. It's in my print newsletter. You might want to sign up for that. We've actually featured it in a couple of e-newsletters. And again, I can't always read these products cover to cover, but I did this one because every page is so pertinent to our times. And it's talking about, I guess, the storm to come. And Mark actually says, Paris, well over a year ago, was the first of the storm. Obviously, there's been Belgium, there's been San Bernardino, will be many, many more of these. So, Mark, what were your thoughts as you saw the first of the storm? I mean, that can go back to Paris, I mean, for that matter, it can go back to 9/11, but what were your thoughts when you saw the first of the storm?
Well, of course, going back to 9/11, something that just, you know, kind of shattered our whole nation, kind of shattered the psyche of our country, this idea that we're kind of invincible here and nothing like that could ever come to America. I think that shattered kind of that sense that we're separated from these kinds of things. You know, what's happening in Europe, I think, in Paris, as you begin to see ISIS and these ISIS-motivated groups, a couple of things I thought of. One, obviously, is that how these groups can have such a far reach so quickly. They're how barbaric they are, and they have no concern for life. But also, too, it just made me think of really how, I don't know what word I want to use, naive, I guess, maybe is the best word, that many Western countries are about these kinds of things, that they just continue to allow people to come in unvetted, I guess you'd say. I mean, just people are living among them that they have no idea really what they have on their hands. I think Europe is in for a bloodbath at some point in time. I do. I think that there are thousands of people there waiting to strike, and I fear for there. But I think, you know, eventually that could be here as well. What happens there can obviously come to our own country. So I think it's just the beginning, again, of a lot of chaos. And I'm not hoping that happens, believe me. I pray every day that these plans will be thwarted and that these enemies will not be able to carry out their attacks. But I'm just being realistic about what I think will happen. And it's a tragic thing that's happening. But obviously, the people to blame are these ISIS monsters who are carrying these things out. But I think they're, in many ways, leaders in some of these countries are complicit in the fact that they're not taking it seriously enough.
Well, let me play a quick soundbite, and you quote Joel Rosenberg frequently in your book, and Joel is quite a commentator on our times when it comes to Mideast issues. He calls it the epicenter, of course, and he makes the same comment you've just made, is where on earth are our Western leaders when it comes to understanding, comprehending, and fighting back?
One of the reasons I wrote the novel was to warn people, to show people that if we don't deal decisively and crush ISIS in the Middle East, it's coming. It's coming to Europe. It's coming to the United States. It's coming to Israel. Israel, of course, just this week captured an ISIS cell in the West Bank. They are not, the Islamic State is not interested in being contained to Syria and Iraq. It sees itself as building a regional caliphate or Islamic kingdom, and eventually a global kingdom. And it will kill anyone that gets in its way.
Well, we're already seeing some of that spreading to Indonesia. And recently, I know in the Philippines, in South Philippines, Mindanao, where there are many militant Muslims there, MILF and so forth, they're claiming allegiance to ISIS.
ISIS is the new radical Islamic brand. They have come on so fast, so strong. I mean, they're literally, I believe it's a demonic movement. I mean, they're not just terrorizing people. They're engaged in genocide in Syria and Iraq. They're trying to eliminate Christianity from those two countries. And they're slaughtering Muslims by the tens of thousands. And what's happening is Al-Qaeda is looking like the moderates. They are denouncing ISIS for chopping off people's heads, for crucifying people. Al-Qaeda is denouncing ISIS for being too radical. Now, we've entered a bizarre universe when Al-Qaeda is positioning itself as the reasonably sane, in their view, version. But the fact that ISIS has moved so fast, captured 45% of the nation of Iraq, is indicative of its danger. The people being drawn to it are much more bloodthirsty than other, even radical Islamic terrorists. More radical than Hamas, although it's in the same category, more radical than Hezbollah. And I'm concerned that Western leaders, including our president, are simply too complacent.
And Mark Hitchcock, the thing that jumped out at me was Joel Rosenberg calls the movement demonic. I think that's very accurate.
Yes, I mean, there's no doubt about that, what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Satan knows the end of the story as well in the Bible.
Sure.
And we know that he, of course, is trying to bring about chaos. And ultimately, his goal is to wipe out the Jewish people, I believe. And, of course, ISIS, you know, they've told the Jewish people, the Jewish state, Israel, you know, you're next. you're the ultimate prize or the ultimate goal. So in that sense, they're just another one of these demonically inspired movements to ultimately try to wipe out the Jewish people.
Yeah, and I get concerned when I hear some of our leaders, including Barack Obama, use the term ISIL. I mean, that's simply the L in ISIL stands for the Levant, which includes Israel. And I'm concerned that's a signal of some kind to Iran that they're okay with whatever Iran wants to do to Israel. I don't know if you've given that any thought at all, why some are using ISIS and others are using ISIL, but the L stands for the Levant, which includes Israel.
No, that's right. I mean, I don't know why President Obama, he's the only one I ever hear that calls him ISIL. Everybody else, it's ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. You know, of course, that's where their main territory is. But yeah, the Levant, of course, you know, he may be stating that is their ultimate goal, is to take the entire Levant, not just Syria, includes Lebanon, Israel, all the way down. So, but I don't know why he calls them that, because I think sometimes when he says ISIL, I think there's probably a lot of people that don't even know what he's talking about. That may be why he says it some ways, too, because the average person doesn't even know what ISIL is. They've just heard ISIS. So, yeah, I don't know why he keeps using that moniker for them instead of the accepted one. It is strange.
Mark Hitchcock, I'm going to just read a real short email that I got from a pastor, and if I used his name, everyone would know it, and I can't use his name. It's just two paragraphs long here, and I'd like to get your response to it, and if we can't get your response in this segment, we'll do it in the next. But this pastor said this in an email, and let me set the stage here by saying that this pastor was in a conversation with Frank Gaffney, who is certainly a leading, if not almost the final authority on national security issues. And here's what this pastor said. He said the things he shared publicly, that means Frank Gaffney, were gripping, but privately those things turned terrifying. He, again, that's Frank Gaffney, is absolutely convinced that from his sources, all chatter indicates that New York, Seattle, Boston, Los Angeles, St. Louis, Denver, Chicago, San Diego, Dallas are the targets of indigenous cells. They are nearly almost all Hispanic, having converted to Islam. They are highly connected and in many ways controlling inner city gangs that have signed on. Gaffney said that they have orders to take their own neighborhoods first and then from there to connect the neighborhoods by expansion. The effort cannot be successfully resisted as there are not enough police, military, or citizen firepower to resist a sustained inner invasion. He said that very soon there will be increasing waves of attacks from what will look like lone wolves, but these are the opening moments of the indigenous cells as they escalate the plan. ISIS has successfully tapped into the disgruntled of America. When I asked him, what can we do? He just looked and said, I have exhausted that question. And then this pastor goes on to conclude, be as ready as you can. Commit your souls to him and manage your fear with courage. And then, Mark Hitchcock, you actually end your book, or at least you have a major chapter in here, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And what I want to do is take a quick break here, Mark, and when I come back, I want to talk a little bit about not letting your heart not be troubled, but also get your response to this Frank Gaffney conversation with this pastor. You know this pastor. All I'm saying, he's very reliable, and he doesn't throw words like this around if he doesn't feel they're very substantial. So when I get back, we'll continue with Dr. Mark Hitchcock. You can find his book, ISIS, Iran, Israel, and the End of Days, in my store, olivetreeviews.org, or give us a call or sign up for my print or e-newsletter back in just a couple of minutes.
Most people today sense that our world is slowly moving toward the final days. Many are wondering about what we can expect during these perilous times. Every week, we bring you a perspective based on what the Bible teaches will happen in the last days. If you enjoy this broadcast with all the insights from America's best Bible teachers, would you let us know? Write to us at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. We would love to hear from you. Did you know much of our ministry is not even on the radio? It's on the World Wide Web at olivetreeviews.org. You can visit our online bookstore. There you can order Mark Hitchcock's latest publication, ISIS, Iran, Israel, and the End of Days. Phone orders are also accepted at 763-559-4444. Coming up next, more conversation with Dr. Mark Hitchcock. But first, here's Jan Markell with details about our conference in October.
Do you feel alone in a world going mad? A world where every day headlines are more and more troubling. I hear from so many who have no like-minded people with whom to share. Come and meet Remnant Believers Saturday, October 15th for a one-day Understanding the Times conference just outside Minneapolis, Minnesota. Let me introduce you to four people who interpret our times accurately and biblically. Ann Graham Lotz is a discerner of our times and a gifted Bible teacher.
I believe if I live out my natural lifetime, I will live to see the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. I believe that we're living in the last generation before he comes back. And I base that not on my feelings, not on my hopes, so I base it on the signs and what I see going on in our world today.
Amir Sarfati returns to us this year from Israel.
And I believe the Spirit is telling the bride, get ready. And before everything comes to pass, and the Lord is coming to take his bride, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock is a longtime friend and top Bible prophecy teacher favored by this ministry.
God has given us a panorama of what's coming in the future. And God has also set forth for us some of the signs or the things we can look for as we approach the end times. And the Bible tells us that there are discernible signs of the times that are going to portend the Lord's coming.
I have worked with White House correspondent Bill Cain since 2002, I can verify that his analysis of our times is the best.
We must remember that 27%, 28% of our Bible is Bible prophecy, and we are blessed to be living at the most important time in Bible prophecy history.
See our website for hotel information, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. We begin at 9 a.m. and run until 5 p.m. Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. There's no cost or registration. Hope to see you on Saturday, October 15th. For more information, call us 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444.
We report on the news, giving you insights that we are headed toward a one-world government, a world dictator, more Middle East wars, lawlessness, confusion, and political darkness. However, at the end of the day, our ministry reminds everyone that God is in control and Jesus is coming back. This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell.
Sure, a sleeper cell is traditionally thought of a group organized by terrorists or another transnational criminal organization that's kind of lying in wait, that gets into position in a certain location that is waiting for direction in order to execute that direction. So they might move to a certain location and 2 or 3 years down the road decide now's the time to execute a plot against the U.S.
Understanding the Times, where we link today with tomorrow. We're excited about having Mark Hitchcock return to the conference this fall. Few people in today's world can articulate how easy it is to understand Bible prophecy like Dr. Hitchcock can. He's our guest this hour, so let's get right back to Jan Markell.
And welcome back. And again, continuing this hour with a good friend of this ministry, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. He's been at, I think about 4 Understanding the Times conferences, and he'll be with us this fall, along with Ann Graham Lotz, Amir Sarfati from Israel, and White House correspondent Bill Koenig for our one-day event on Saturday, October 15th. No charge, no registration needed. Just come on out for the whole day of fellowship and teaching and all sorts of interesting things to take home and share. That's assuming you have folks who want to hear this kind of information. More and more I hear from you that folks are starting to plug their ears because they just don't want to deal with some of the bad news. And Mark Hitchcock, tell me your thoughts on that email I read from a pastor that you know and I know well.
Well, yeah, it's stunning. I've not really heard that information before. Now, obviously, we all know, I think, and believe there certainly are these sleeper cells, you know, ISIS-inspired cells, you know, in our country. There's lots of them in Europe. We know that they've got to be here as well. But relating that, as he did, to, you know, Hispanic communities and things like that and the extent of it, I've never heard that before. But again, you know, we know who the man is who stated this. And so, you know, I believe that's reliable. And, of course the ultimate source is, you know, Mr. Gaffney. So, but, you know, that it doesn't surprise me. Now, things like that, they sadden me, you know, greatly. I don't like to hear it, but it doesn't surprise me if that's true.
Well, I'm going to back it up with just another real short soundbite. This is Brigitte Gabrielle and Eric Stackelback talking about the same kind of issue, and that is, well, what will the tactics be? What are they? What would they be once things start kind of manifesting inside of our borders?
With me now, Middle East expert Brigitte Gabrielle and terrorism analyst Eric Stackelback. Okay, Brigitte, I'll start with you. Are they coming for us?
Yes, they are, and they are actively working very hard to come for us. They are recruiting on the internet. They are utilizing Google Chat. They are utilizing Twitter, YouTube, everything they can to recruit. They are even using translation app in order to communicate with different languages, with Westerners, English, German, French, and they are recruiting. We now know, according to U.S. intelligence, that there are 12,000 Westerners fighting with Al-Qaeda. 3,000 to 4,000 of them are Europeans. Over 100 are Americans with American passports. They are coming.
Well, Eric, why would a Westerner want to be recruited into this kind of organization, into this kind of lunacy?
Well, Judge Jeanine, these are very media savvy. This is the most media savvy terrorist group we've ever seen, and they glorify the jihad in the Middle East. If you're a troubled young individual in the West, someone who's grown up playing violent video games, you're going to be attracted to this. If you're a young Muslim who feels disaffected, for example, what ISIS is doing, beheading people, putting heads on stakes, Judge. This is unprecedented, really. What they're doing is so attractive to troubled, young, disaffected Muslims here in the West. And back in May, a lot of people may not know, Judge, this kind of passed under the radar screen, but a young Muslim in Florida, a U.S. citizen, went to Syria, blew himself up. More and more are going to come back, Judge. When they go, they're becoming battle-hardened jihadists. They're going to return. They're not going to go back to college and get their bachelor's degree. They're battle-hardened jihadists. They're going to strike here.
You know, Mark, listening to things like this, it really troubles me, and I don't know if you get feedback similar to what I'm about to say, but it really troubles me that people tell me, they write that they're trying to wake people up, loved ones, family, friends, etc., about the perilous times that we are in, and there's simply no interest. As a matter of fact, some of these folks who write and call here, they say they're mocked, they're scorned, their warnings are put down. And I think some people are going to have a real rude awakening. We don't want them to have that. But when they won't wake up and look or see what's happening and even try to connect it with the Bible, then they're going to have that rude awakening.
Well, that's true. It is amazing because what I always say is, to me, we look at our world today, and there's more that should cause us to believe in our times that the Lord's coming could be very soon than any time in history. And yet there's more of a lack and a dearth of people interested in Bible prophecy or teaching Bible prophecy than ever before. It's a strange situation. You think that people would be more interested in these things than any time in history, especially those who profess to be Christians and who read the Bible. But even among professing Christians, it just doesn't seem to be any interest in these things. And certainly we don't want to be interested in these things to the exclusion of the other parts of the Bible as well. But we want to have a balance. And I would say, as far as the biblical diet goes out there today, it's just this part of the understanding of God's truth is never talked about, and people rarely discuss even just the coming of Christ, whatever view you hold, or the fact that we need to be ready for his return, let alone, you know, kind of these finer points that we're discussing here. So, no, I think it is, you know, for most believers, there's an ignorance, but really it's pretty pervasive. There's just a general ignorance about the Bible out there in general, and I would just say that, you know, prophecy is just part of that.
Okay.
But it's less taught, really, than anything else at the time when it needs to be taught the most.
Yeah, and that's the important point, at the time that folks need this information more than ever. I want to move into a little bit of discussion here about how this topic ties in to eschatology or Bible prophecy. And thank you for including that in your book. And again, it's ISIS, Iran, Israel, and the End of Days. You can find it in any Christian bookstore. You can find it in my bookstore, olivetreeviews.org, or give us a call. It's in my print and e-newsletters. And you write extensively, Mark Hitchcock, and he is my guest for the entire hour, about the Mahdi. And some believe that the biblical Antichrist and the Mahdi are the same, and you and I would disagree with that. Why don't you give the reasons why you do not believe that, first of all, the Mahdi is the Antichrist, and why, quite frankly, a Muslim really can't be the Antichrist?
Well, that's right. You know, to me, it's been an interesting, there's a lot of people who bought into this, really.
Yes.
More and more are. A lot of really well-known Bible teachers that aren't even really prophecy, you know, teachers per se have kind of bought into this that I've read. There's a couple of problems that are big ones for me. One is the Antichrist, this final world ruler, the beast, the Bible calls him, Revelation 13, is going to come on the world scene. But the Bible tells us he's going to declare that he is God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, he's going to sit in the temple of God. He's going to declare that he is God. The problem with that is, the big problem is, when a man declares that he is God, obviously he won't be a Muslim anymore, because the main tenet of Islam is there is one God, who's Allah, and his prophet is Muhammad. So if a human being claims to be God, by virtue of claiming that, that person is no longer a Muslim, and I think would be hated and be, you know, killed by Muslims if they made some kind of claim like that. Now, some will say, well, but in the end, you know, there's going to be so much deception that even Muslims are going to go along with this person being God. I guess that's possible, but it just doesn't seem likely in the environment we see today. And it seems like Muslims are pretty willing to stand up and kill people for their faith, no matter who they are, if they make these kind of claims. So that's one big problem. Another major problem to me is that the Antichrist, this final global world ruler, will begin the tribulation period by making a peace treaty with Israel, Daniel 9:27. To me, it's unimaginable, at least
yes,
in our current environment, that the Jewish people would place their security in the hands of someone who's a follower of Islam. I just don't see how that could ever happen. Again, someone could say, well, that's possible. Sure, certainly anything's possible. But those two things to me are very problematic. The other point would be Daniel 9:26 says that this person will come from the same people who destroyed the city of Jerusalem in AD 70, the Roman Empire. That means that he's going to be from some kind of reunited Roman Empire. Now, certainly there were Muslim nations within that area as well, nations that are Muslim today, but I don't see the connection that some people are making. And to me, Daniel saying that the Antichrist is going to exalt himself above every god, to me precludes the Antichrist from being a Muslim.
Well, and I agree with you wholeheartedly on all the points you've just made, and certainly the latter one, that the Jews would actually give some credence to either a Muslim or a former Muslim. It just makes no sense to me. But as you say, this is growing in popularity. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have Dr. Mark Hitchcock on the line. He is pastor of Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, carrying his newest book. And Mark's been at, my understanding, the Times conferences. I've kind of lost track, 3 or 4 times. He will be again this fall, and this book will also be available at that time. I want to stay in the genre of Islam in prophecy, Mark. And you say, we don't know all the reasons God has allowed ISIS to rise, and you made reference to this earlier, but one reason could be that ISIS exists in some measure to reshape the Middle East in preparation for the final drama prophesied in the Bible. And then you say, prophetically speaking, the survival of ISIS as a holder of territory is not significant. There are no biblical end time prophecies directly related to ISIS. This is a critical point to remember. The importance of ISIS from a prophetic standpoint is the movements and reactions it has fostered, the reshaping it has influenced. There are at least 3 main ways ISIS has reshaped the Middle East and the surrounding nations, and then you cite them, and let's talk about them briefly, real briefly. It's brought Russia and Syria together. Point 2, it could be prophetic prelude to Gog Magog. And then 3, so important here, the chaos unleashed by ISIS may serve to bring the Middle East nations to a peace table with Israel as predicted by Daniel 9:27. A region weary with war and bloodshed may finally be forced to forge a peace settlement. Talk to us a little bit about point A. It brought Russia into Syria.
Well, yes, because of what's happening, Russia used this as an opportunity to come into Syria to supposedly, you know, help them out and to get rid of ISIS. But, of course, it was interesting. A while back, they said they were going to leave, and I was very fascinated by that. But then they changed their mind, and they decided they're not. So, you know, surprise, surprise, they're not going to leave. So, you know, here you have Ezekiel 38 and 39 that says that Gog, Magog, Rosh is one of the nations, Russia will come into Israel in the end times to try to destroy them. Now you have Russia literally on the northern border of Israel. And at the same time right now, Russia is selling their advanced S-300 missile defense system to Iran, which is going to harden their nuclear sites even more. So ISIS has been used now as kind of a subterfuge for Russia now to come in right there on Israel's northern border, and for Russia just to get their hands more and more involved in the events of the Middle East.
But then this, as you say, a region weary with war and bloodshed may finally be forced to forge a peace settlement. And that's based on Daniel 9:27. Let's talk about that for just a couple of minutes here. It's so important.
Well, that's right. I mean, not only what I was saying earlier, now is Russia on the northern border, but Iran is on Israel's northern border. I've heard several Israeli leaders say in recent days they would rather have ISIS in control of Syria than Iran.
Okay.
That's a pretty amazing statement. Now, they would rather have neither.
Yeah.
But if they had to make a choice, they would rather actually have ISIS there than Iran, because Iran obviously is a, you know, a nation that's pursuing nuclear weapons. They have an air force and all of these other things. But that just shows how dangerous the entire situation is. But what the whole ISIS is just keep stirring the pot over there with all of the chaos and the bloodshed. And of course, eventually they do want to come down into the land of Israel. They're over in Libya and in Egypt. And so all of this is just, to me, is causing the desire, the yearning for this peace treaty to come, because that area is already so war-weary. But just think, with ISIS and the dragging out of these things over what could be, again, now several more years of this, people there are going to be ready to come to the peace table, I think, just one of these days, just because they're worn out with what's happening. And there's going to be this ruler, the Antichrist, who's going to come on the scene. He's going to, you know, I think I've heard you refer to him before. He's the man with a plan.
Yep.
He's the man who will come and who will present this. And Daniel 9:27 says he's going to make a firm covenant. That word could be translated compelled covenant. It's going to be a firm covenant. It's going to be kind of a take it or leave it deal for the nations there. And I really see what's happening over there today as really the prelude to this peace treaty that ultimately will be signed by Israel, by this Antichrist, him guaranteeing some type of safety or peace for them. And what we see happening over there today certainly does look like that. It's strikingly foreshadows that.
Well, probably like me, you were not real surprised to see the nuclear agreement with Iran that began in 2014, culminated in 2015. I mean, the free world, led by our White House and State Department, blessed Iran with money and material to begin, quite frankly, to begin preparing for the final battle of Armageddon, which is certainly going to be nuclear-laced war during the tribulation. Could even be before the tribulation, some nuclear activity, thanks to our White House and State Department, although a number of nations went along with it. Do you think that Israel will make a preemptive strike?
I think they will at some point in time. Obviously, they're watching this, and the issue is the breakout time for Iran. How long does it take Iran, when they begin to cheat and to fudge on this nuclear agreement, how long will it take them to break out and to actually have nuclear weapons? Of course, the agreement was signed, and not long after it, that nuclear agreement with Iran, they were testing ballistic missiles. They've done that on at least two occasions. One of the missiles they had said on the side of it, Israel must be wiped off the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not exactly a comforting thought for the Jewish people. Yeah, I mean, you know, Israel's watching that. They know. They have great intelligence. They've sent a lot of these viruses in there that kind of helped keep things at bay. But at some point in time, Israel cannot allow Iran Iran to have nuclear weapons. If it looks like that there's a breakout period for them to do that, I think they have no other choice. You talk about causing the dominoes to begin to fall. That would be a monumental event over in the Middle East.
And not only that, Barack Obama has threatened to have U.S. planes shoot down any Israeli plane that comes against Iranian nuclear facilities. Now, I have no idea if that's actually going to play out. Would U.S. pilots actually shoot down an ally's planes who are just simply trying to defend themselves? And this could be Mr. Obama's final act of evil as he leaves office. I don't know. That is a major news story going out of 2015 and coming into 2016.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Saudi Arabia has been a lot more supportive of the of Israel and their efforts to get Iran, because they don't want Iran to have nuclear weapons either. They've actually been way more supportive than the United States has. But, you know, when it finally comes down to it, Israel's going to have to act in their own self-interest. And, boy, you talk about something then that could really set the stage and put all of these events on the end times on hyperdrive, if you will. That would be something that would do that if Israel was to strike Iran's nuclear facilities.
Well, you say this on page 47. Of your book, it's safe to say that ISIS, while missing from the end-time biblical template, is a part of the overall complex or matrix of events that are pushing the world further down the road to Armageddon. They're part of the Middle East showdown that's fomenting and forcing the world to focus on that part of the world. However, the ultimate threat for Israel and the West, according to Scripture, is not ISIS, but rather a Russian-Islamic alliance that will involve Iran as the key player. This threat will completely eclipse ISIS and play a key role in God's end-time drama. The end-time federation that could be looming just over the horizon is described in detail in Ezekiel 38:39 in a prophecy that describes what is commonly known as the Battle of Gog and Magog. When we get back, I want to talk a little bit about Mark's chapter, which is simply titled, Do Not Let Your Heart Be Troubled. I also want to make a couple of references anyway to where is America in prophecy. And I do that because Mark's got a chapter or two in here about America in prophecy. And I think that we can always talk about things that are 8,000 miles away, but a lot of listeners also like to bring things closer to home. How do they affect the home front? We'll do that in just a minute or two. I'm coming right back. Don't go away.
We trust you're finding our weekly broadcast both helpful and insightful. Our media team constantly brings you themes that define our day and give you hope that God is still in control. Please pray for this ministry. Pray that God will direct our paths as we seek to minister to millions every weekend to help them understand the days in which we live. Your financial help would be a priceless blessing for Jan and her staff. We are a totally listener-supported broadcast. You can write with your gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, or log on to olivetreeviews.org. Without our listeners' prayer and financial support, this program would cease to exist. So thank you for being faithful and helping us reach across America. In just a moment, we'll return with more from pastor, professor, prophecy teacher, and author, Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
Recently, we made you aware of the 100-plus-year agenda to take America down and replace democracy with Marxism. Curtis Bauer spent 2 weeks on air warning us through his video, Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit, that there is indeed a sinister agenda at play. We are now offering that DVD for a tax-deductible gift of $25 or more if you ask for it and live in the U.S. You can request the DVD with a donation online at olivetreeviews.org or write us, Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Be a part of a ministry that talks about today with an eye on tomorrow and support our outreach airing in over 800 radio markets across North America.
If you ever miss our radio program, catch us on the web at olivetreeviews.org. So people want to know, where's America in prophecy? And America is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. Some people try to find America as Babylon the Great in Revelation 17 and 18, or the young lions of Tarshish in Ezekiel 38, or the unnamed nation in Isaiah chapter 18, or we're the 10 lost tribes of Israel. There's all kinds of theories out there, but I don't think America is mentioned. And I think if we are still the great superpower in the world that we are today, that the Bible would somehow reference America.
Every week, Understanding the Times Radio brings you the inconvenient truth without compromise and without apology. But we never forget, at the end of the day, God has a plan. He is in control. Our hope is not in people fixing what is wrong. Our only hope is in the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here again is Jan Markell and Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
New from Dr. Michael Youssef.
If you think this world is going to get better, or if you think there's going to be world peace, if you are waiting for utopia, then you will be disappointed big time, as we are hurtling toward Armageddon.
The Bible says that there will appear a character on the world stage, an individual known as the man of lawlessness. He will make false promises of world peace, harmony, and hope. He will lull the world into believing in him, even worshiping him as their Messiah. But he will end up abusing humanity like they have never been tormented before. Christians know him as the Antichrist. Sunni Muslims know him as the Muslim Christ. Shiite Muslims know him as the Mahdi. But after a brief temporary success, he will be defeated and destroyed by our coming King Jesus Christ, our true Savior. Just as he promised, Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead and take his true followers to heaven. He is coming for us, and it won't be long. He could come in the next minute, or the next week, or the next year. He is coming soon. Are you ready?
Thank you, Dr. Michael Youssef, for putting a positive spin on an hour that included some news that's on the dark side. But there's always, when we look up, there's always hope, and that's how we want to end on every program. Say, folks, I do try to keep in touch with you through my Facebook, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries, through my print and e-newsletter, and this program is posted to my website every Saturday. All programming is posted there for the last 3, 4, 5 years. And if you write to us, would you please tell us what station you're listening to so that we can credit particularly donations properly. Now, we're concluding this hour with Dr. Mark Hitchcock because we're carrying his newest book, and that is ISIS, Iran, Israel, and the End of Days. It's in my bookstore, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Or give us a call or find it in my various newsletters. And Mark Hitchcock, you have some major information in your book on America in prophecy. And you write, and this maybe some quotes here from Dr. John Walvoord, but you state here that although conclusions concerning the role of America in prophecy in the end times are necessarily tentative, the scriptural evidence is sufficient to conclude that America in that day will not be a major power and apparently does not figure largely in either the political, economic, or religious aspects of the world. America may well be at its zenith today, both in power, influence, and opportunity. And obviously everybody knows, because you can't turn anything on without realizing this is a tremendously political season, with candidates saying that we're going to turn America around and we're going to make her great again, etc. But according to you, many other radio guests I have here, conference guests, etc., maybe America's greatest days are behind us. Would that be the case?
Well, yeah, a lot of people talk about a great awakening and a great revival in the end times. If that's true, the Bible doesn't mention it. You know, it mentions actually what we're headed to is the apostasy, you know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But It seems to me that America will not be the great nation that we are in the end times because we're not mentioned. If we were the great nation in the end times, obviously we would be mentioned in some light. So the fact that America is absent from mention in these end time prophecies to me indicates something must happen to our country. And of course, there's all kinds of plausible scenarios today that one could come up with. You look at the moral meltdown in our nation. You know, Romans 1 talks about God giving people over to their sin. I call that the wrath of abandonment, that God ultimately abandons people to their own wicked ways and brings judgment. You look at the monetary problems we're having, almost $20 trillion, whatever, in debt now. When is that bubble going to explode and bring our nation down? You can't even service the debt, so you can't afford a military, which could greatly, obviously, weaken our nation. You know, some kind of nuclear nightmare that could happen here. You know, again, these are doomsday scenarios. I realize that, but they're possibilities. But I think the most likely one to me, at least the one that we know of from the Bible, we know that someday the rapture is going to happen. We don't know what the exact numbers are, certainly, of people in America who are believers, but about somewhere around 8% of people in America say that they believe that salvation is by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And if that's true, if that's even a close number, that's, you know, some 30 million people that would disappear in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the rapture, the salt and the light immediately extracted out of our country. And I think, you know, it could be that the rapture is the demise of America, maybe even in confluence with some of those other events I just mentioned. You know, if you take that many people out and then the debt crisis and all these other different things kind of piling on top of one another, it could very well be that the rapture of the church will be the demise of America.
Well, when we see some of the, for lack of a better word, I'm going to draw on the word debauchery. I mean, just seeing the White House decked out in the rainbow colors of the homosexual movement last June, almost a year ago now, I think pushed us over a ledge. Now we've got the transgender wars. We women are supposed to be okay with sharing restrooms with men, and think this perversion is going to continue down a very, very ugly path. Usually things continue to deteriorate rather than suddenly turn around and get better.
No, that's right. I mean, it's what you have in Romans 1, it's really a frightening picture. It talks about a sexual revolution, then a homosexual revolution, yeah, and then people actually, you know, giving hearty approval to those things. I was actually reading a commentary here recently, several of them, by some of the best-known New Testament scholars. They aren't even, you know, the best-known evangelical-type scholars, but they say that actually the giving of hearty approval to these sins, such as homosexuality, in Romans 1 is called by God worse than the act itself. That is a sobering
thing. Yes,
yes. Because that's what we see today. It's gone from acceptance of these things to approval of these things to applause for these things. And so when you reach that, you've kind of reached the bottom rung on the ladder, if you will, and it's saying there that God gives people over. In other words, it's the wrath of abandonment. God abandons people to their own ways, and then ultimately that wrath of abandonment gives way to a direct wrath of God, where he comes and brings his judgment upon a nation, upon a people. So it's saying when these things are happening in a nation, it's not saying that if you do those things, God will judge you. It's saying the fact that these things are happening means you're already being judged by a God abandoning you to these things. It's a very sobering picture.
You've got a wonderful chapter in here, "Do not let your heart be troubled." And you say, we don't know everything that's coming, but we can see that the specific signposts that point to the end times are lining up. The stage is being set for the opening act of the most astonishing drama of history. As we watch the Middle East simmer, boil, and explode, it appears that the curtain could go up at any time and the drama could begin. What should our response be to all of this? Should we fold in fear or wither in worry? And you conclude, really, we're not to do that, and that we're to not let our heart be troubled.
Well, that's right. I mean, obviously, if someone doesn't know the Savior who's listening to us today, the response they need to have is to come to him, because there is a storm of judgment that's coming on this world. That's what the Bible tells us. Jesus will ultimately come back and rule as king, but before that period of time, there's a period of judgment this world will go through. But Jesus already took the storm of judgment for us. That's the good news of the gospel. He died on the cross in our place, and that by simple trust and belief in him, we can have our sins washed away, receive the gift of eternal life. So judgment for us is over if we found our refuge in Jesus Christ. But for those of us who know the Lord, again, God didn't tell us these things to make us anxious, but to make us aware, you know, I like to say it, or not to scare us, but to prepare us. We need to understand what's happening in our days. We need to not be folding up in fear. We need to be going forth, living our lives, growing spiritually, sharing these things that we can with other people who will listen, anticipating in our own lives the coming of the Lord, and live godly lives that please the Lord. You know, we can decry all the sin and all the corruption that's out there in our culture, but if we're allowing that to be in our own lives, then really we're contributing to the problem. We need to stand up and stand out from this culture in which we live, and we need to do that as pastors, as church members, as leaders, wherever we are. That's God's calling upon our lives, and even the basic and the mundane things that we may think of this life, to be faithful to Him until He comes. That's the calling that Jesus has given to us in these times.
Come on out and meet Dr. Mark Hitchcock this fall, Saturday, October the 15th, Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, right outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota, along with Ann Graham Lotz, White House correspondent Bill Koenig, and our Bible prophecy teacher from Israel, Amir Sarfati. Again, the book is ISIS, Iran, Israel, and the End of Days. Find it in my bookstore. Mark Hitchcock, thank you so much for all that you do. I'm going to close because I am totally out of time, encouraging you to look back and thank Him. Look around, serve Him, look ahead, trust Him. Always look up and expect Him. He's coming again, sooner rather than later. We'll talk to you next weekend.
Forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, You are eternal, love everlasting.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. You can find Dr. Mark Hitchcock's new book, ISIS, Iran, Israel, and the End of Days, in our web store, olivetreeviews.org. This listener-supported broadcast is delivered to you coast to coast. It costs us thousands of dollars to bring it to your home each weekend. To help us produce and distribute this program, would you consider becoming our financial partner? For a gift of $25 or more, if you ask for it, and if you live in the USA, we'd like to send you Curtis Bauer's new video, Agenda 2, the stunning expose of the crafted Marxist plan to take down America. This DVD is a must-see. It can be yours for a donation of $25 or more, but you must live in the United States to take advantage of this offer. Please send your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can also support this ministry at olivetreeviews.org, or phone 763-559-4444. We look forward to hearing from you soon. In the meantime, we deeply appreciate your prayer support. Jan returns again next week with another program to help you understand the times.